Hey, this is Gary Coleman in the Action Room.
Hello, citizens. This is Captain America. Steve Rogers to you. Well, it could also be Captain America. But in any case, I'm here to remind you, as you enjoy your barbecues and pools and hot girlfriends and hot dogs, to honor all men and women who have served this great nation.
Okay, forget it. Listen, anyway, it's our Memorial Day episode, and I just want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody who has served and is currently serving in our armed forces.
Yes, this is very true.
I would like to say that, just to start it off, I'd like to give a shout-out. We'd both like to give shout-outs today.
Well, so first, should we identify ourselves for first-time listeners?
Okay, who are we?
I'm Tony Wolf.
You're not Captain America?
I'm Captain Tony Wolf, Steve America Rogers.
And I'm Producer Mike.
All right.
So, okay, so for Memorial Day, I would like to give a shout-out to my great-uncle Walt. Walter Herrera, who he's going to be 95 in June.
Wow.
He was in World War II, won a Silver Star, which is one medal below the Medal of Honor, in combat in the Philippine Islands. After 16 hours of being bogged down on the beach, he and five other men were ordered to destroy a Japanese machine gun test. We need, like, effects, sound effects after this.
Japanese machine gun nest.
Oh, what did I say?
Test.
Oh, nest.
It's not Hiroshima.
Three of the men were killed, two were wounded, and my uncle survived to take out the machine gun nest to get the Silver Star. After 3 years of combat, I don't know why I'm reading it like this.
You sound like you're making fun of it, like it's a fake story.
No. This is totally real. This is actually pretty incredible. I just can't read.
He's just reading the text.
After 3 years of combat, he was injured badly. He took 11 bullets on the island of Cebu and sent home. He spent close to 5 years in a VA hospital and then five more years in and out. His kneecap was blown off, but never had leg. Had his leg amputated, and suffered pain all his life. Today he's in a VA hospital in Phoenix, and I have met him a few times in my life.
Oh yeah,
and he's a pretty amazing guy. He has a great spirit. And he's like, for 95, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
He's, you know, those guys, they don't make them like that anymore. You know?
Does he talk about the war, his experiences, or does he kind of rather not talk about it? Behind them, or
probably rather not. I heard in the hospital he's in, he's the oldest veteran right now. Guys are like 93. They're youngsters.
Right. Spring chickens. So you heard this from your parents. You never heard him tell the tale.
Yeah, I think that the times I've spent with him were just, you know, talking about, what are you doing in school? You know, stuff like that. I don't think I ever talked about the war or anything with him. But I've always heard about him, and it was, you know, it's pretty amazing stuff. But now
we're having a conversation in all seriousness about Memorial Day and, you know, honoring veterans and current service people. And I also have not a great uncle, but my uncle, who I was named after, my uncle Tony, Tony Giretti.
Very Italian. The way, my dad was named after my uncle Walt.
Your father's name is Walt.
Great uncle Walt. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I was named after Tony Giretti. He was a Marine. He volunteered and signed up immediately once the Vietnam War broke out. And right after high school, he became a Marine. And he, very sadly, was killed in combat when he was 23. So I was conceived a couple years later, and they named me after him. He also received the Silver Star and a Purple Heart. I think, is a Purple Heart always dying in battle, or just, like, some very grievous wound?
Yeah, it sounds amazing, whatever
it is.
And
they had a, you know, we received a thing from the Marines about the battle he was in and how he, you know, saved some people or... So it was very sad.
Why didn't you read mine, too? That sucks.
Yeah. We can go back if you want. No, I can read yours. And actually, I'll say this on the subject of veterans. I'll spring this on you, Producer Mike. This is a surprise, unplanned. My grandfather, His father, my grandpa Giretti, Al Giretti, was a World War II vet. He was a bomber, and he served with Jimmy Stewart.
Wow.
Jimmy Stewart was his captain.
Do you have an impression of Jimmy Stewart?
Well, maybe I do.
See,
but
I have to say
that sucked. I can do a much better Jimmy Stewart.
It's Mel Blanc's birthday today.
Yes, a lot of birthdays and sadly some passings as well.
I want to spring on you, Tony, to get as many impersonations on this show as possible.
I don't know.
Let's just tell everybody who doesn't really. Everybody should know that Mel Blanc was all the voices for the Looney Tunes,
Bugs Bunny.
And
Fudd, Yosemite Sam.
His birthday was today, but in 1908.
Daffy Duck.
And he was 81 when he died in 1989. And guess what his last film was in 1990? Well, it came
Space
out after.
Space Jam?
No.
Did Mel Blanc do the voices for Space Jam?
I think he might have, but this wasn't listed as his
Mel last Blanc's film. Last film, trivia. I honestly... What else?
He wasn't the
was
main...
there? Wait, there was a Looney Tunes movie called Back in Action, right?
It wasn't Looney Tunes.
Oh, man.
It was a Hanna-Barbera show.
The Flintstones movie?
Yeah, you're getting close.
Flintstones 2?
Not Flintstones. What was the other one?
There was no Jetsons movie.
The
there
Jetsons movie.
There was a Jetsons movie?
He was Mr. Spacely in the Jetsons movie.
Wait, an animated movie?
Well, yeah.
Not a live action.
No,
because I was wondering, that's what you should do, Hollywood.
Right.
You should do a live action Jetsons, since you've done every other fucking remake and live action of every other cartoon that exists under the sun.
Which is funny, too, because this goes back to my uncle, great-uncle Walt, where they keep talking about his wife, Jane, his
Spacely?
Wife.
Jane Spacely?
Well, no, when they always say to me, oh, Jane, his wife. I always go, Jane, his wife.
Oh, God.
So shout out to Jane.
So wait,
too.
Was he Mr. Spacely on the original series as well, I would imagine?
I believe
he
so,
might
yeah.
be. He sounds like Mr.
I think
Spacely.
So. Yeah.
Mr. Spacely, by the way, was George Jetson's boss.
Okay.
Kind of like, just like Mr. Slate, Fred Flintstone's boss.
Yeah, I would assume that anybody who knows Mr. Slate knows Mr. Spacey.
I'm just providing context because a lot of our listeners are younger.
George! That was pretty good, right?
George! Mr. Slate. Yeah, how did Mr. Slate... Flintstone!
That's
I mean, all just yelled. They were bad bosses,
right.
But then there'd be an episode where they were
right,
nice.
Right.
You know.
They had a heart of gold. All right, so the... or a stone of gold.
Hey,
in,
Fred. I could do Barney.
Okay.
Hey, Fred. Well,
Bonnie.
It's sort of like Norton, but it always had that kind of, hey, Fred, woman, buddy, going outside.
You know, you have to prepare for our new character, Karaoke Snarf.
Oh, that's right. We're going to do Snarf Sings. That's totally unrelated
no,
as
totally
far
unrelated.
As the stream of consciousness, but we believe it's Snarf. Snarf, Snarf. He should do karaoke. But then we listen to some Thundercats episodes, and sometimes he sounds too normal.
Yeah, no.
He just sounds like a guy who kind of... But he's kind of sound like Snarf.
Rankin and Bass, who did Thundercats and stuff, they didn't have the best voiceover talent. But
Lion-O just sounded like Captain America.
All right.
Chris Evans better not sound like this.
Who? Oh, Chris Evans.
I swallowed the word.
All right, so...
So we discovered that we both have, in all seriousness, some veterans in our families.
Yes, so happy Memorial Day. Happy birthday to Mel Blanc. And we want to talk about the people who unfortunately died this week.
Yes, sadly, there were a lot of passings in the entertainment world
this guy...
Week. Are we part of the nerd news now?
Well, this is kind of an opening.
Okay.
This is not
We're
nerd
still
news.
In the pre-nerd news world. Just to set you at ease, actually,
yes,
listeners.
Yes, yes. We try to make the most depressing news happy, because I wanted to stay on the positive note with Gary Coleman and say that he was a big idol of mine when I was a kid.
Really?
I watched Different Strokes, and I loved everything Gary Coleman was in. Him, probably Michael Jackson and Eddie Murphy were, like, my biggest idols probably around that same time.
Okay.
And but I want to mention, now of course Gary Coleman played Arnold in Different Strokes.
Right.
But and
he passed away
he
a few days ago. For those
42.
Of you who have never heard anything in the last
I don't know
days.
How you, yeah, really. But you're watching The Action Room. I'd like to meet that person. but anyway.
Also because you're watching it. I'd like to meet them because how do you watch a radio show?
You look at the screen. No, I want to talk about two movies that maybe people don't really know that he did.
I remember one of them.
On the Right Track was from 1981. I used to see it on HBO all the time.
This
I just
is the one that I remember.
The synopsis was really funny. Here, you can go ahead, Tony.
Okay, so On the Right Track, Gary Coleman plays...
I mean, when you think about this, this synopsis is absurd, but it's awesome.
But this is the 80s.
Yeah.
One of your theses about the 80s, Producer Mike, one of your main theories is that the 80s, nothing made sense.
It's a very deep
And we
theory.
Liked it that way.
Yeah.
You know.
So
Speaking of, I just watched Weekend at Bernie's. What a great film.
You said you were very impressed with it.
It holds up.
It's much tighter comedically than you expected.
And any film that can deal with a necrophilia joke... And
in a tasteful way?
In a tasteful, innocent, and funny way, and not make it gross and disturbing...
Wow.
I give it to the 80s.
So what happens? A woman thinks she has sex with Bernie,
like... She literally has sex with
No idea that he's dead.
Right. But they don't... I mean, the fact that if you were to bring that up
Does she say, like, he's kind of quiet?
No, no, no. She
kind of lies there.
She smokes afterwards. She's had the best orgasm of her life. That's the thing. It's crazy. Anyway, okay, go back.
Okay, so Gary Coleman... Going back to Gary Coleman.
On the right track. Speaking of
Gary
staying
Coleman,
on the right track.
Gary Coleman plays Lester. He is... And I quote, a homeless shoeshine boy living in a railway station.
Now, literally, he lives...
Not unlike the station agent with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of lives, like, it's a Grand Central. He lives in, like, a little locker.
Yes, I remember this.
It's insane.
And he wears, like, a railroad hat or something.
And that was the thing. He was really into trains. I remember on Different Strokes, he loved trains.
The character or Gary
Coleman? I think both.
Okay.
It crossed over.
He's got a funny knack for picking the winning horse's names out of the paper while shining people's shoes. When word gets around, though, everyone wants a piece of the action. I remember seeing this on HBO back in the day.
I love this movie. And Michael
on
Lembeck.
On the right track. Michael Lembeck what, directed it?
He was in it.
Who's Michael Lembeck?
I don't know. I guess if you don't know him, you don't know him. But he had a beard. He was in a lot of 80s movies.
Okay.
I think some 80s movies. And then the other one was from 1982 and was called The Kid with the Broken Halo.
Now,
and
this was a cartoon.
Well, here's the thing. It was a live-action TV show where he played an angel who came down to help people with their problems and stuff. And the same year, which is interesting how they, like, marketed it, there was a show called The Gary Coleman Show where he played that same angel as a cartoon. Like,
oh, weird.
It was weird.
And I think it was a Saturday morning show?
I think it probably was. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it's just weird to think of how much of a force he was where they worked it out.
He was everywhere.
Where a live action and cartoon would come out on the same year. That would mean pre-production with animation. You had to figure all that out.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty amazing. But anyway, and so...
He was like the Lindsay Lohan, except he actually did lots of movies.
Right, right.
And showed up to things.
But just a horrible life. His parents took all his money and stuff. But we were fortunate.
Were his parents ever penalized, I wonder? I don't really know that story.
I don't know. But I just want to say that, he was a big idol of mine, and we were fortunate to get an interview with him. So check out on our YouTube, because one of our correspondents, Jessica, she interviews him, and he's awesome.
Now, what do you have here? You wrote to him
when I was like 8 in 1982, probably around that time, I actually wrote to him. He's one of the only people, I don't know if you've written to any celebrities.
Oh, I have a whole list. Yeah, and I actually got a lot of things back.
Well, I wrote to him, and I remember getting a postcard with his picture on it, and you have the stock kind of photocopied thing. But then
photocopied signature?
So signature and kind of like a, you know...
Little message.
Thanks for being a fan, you know?
Yeah.
But then there was a little thing that was always different. I got it twice.
Handwritten.
But it could have easily been a secretary or something who wrote it. It was kind of like... It referenced the letter. Like, next time you're in L.A., you know, like, I'm going to call him or something like that.
And there was a second one?
I can't remember what they were... But the point is, he's the only person I ever wrote to, like, as a kid.
Really? The only?
There was one other, like, punk rocker when I was older that I wrote to, who wrote me a long-ass letter. He was Pat Smear from The Germs and later from Nirvana. So,
But he was in Nirvana?
It was before he was in Nirvana, but it was right after the... Whatever. Anyway, we're going to
Pat Smear or Pat Smear?
That was the joke, but his name, Pat Smear.
Okay.
So
very sad about Gary Coleman.
Very sad.
And Avenue Q said they're still going to have him... You know, described and sort of be a character in the show, but they've changed a few wordings so as not to be sort of offensive, I guess.
Right, right. And then the other person, Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper passed away Saturday afternoon. Very sad news.
At 74. And the one thing that just, I forgot how great it was the scene that I posted of him in True Romance with Christopher Walken. The scene where, you know,
he's about to be killed.
Yeah, and he talks about where Sicilians come from and everything like that. And it's
the
just
eggplant
like,
scene.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Yeah. I mean, I just that film really like
True Romance
inspired
is a great,
me so many.
Great movie.
The lighting, the way it was filmed, the acting, just everything. I just love that film.
Yeah. And I also want to mention, by the way, in Dennis Hopper's film career, I've actually never seen Easy Rider.
Oh yeah, neither have I.
I want to go back and watch that.
So and I realized, I've seen
Blue Velvet, where he's the huffing crazy man.
Yeah. You know. Okay.
Apparently, by the way, I got to say, I read some of the Wikipedia stuff right after he passed away. He wrote to, or he called David Lynch when he read the script about, I guess the guy's name is Frank something, who has to,
Frank
like...
Frank Booth.
Frank Booth, who has to, like, suck on oxygen to, like, get it up or something. He called David Lynch and said, I have to play Frank Booth because I am Frank Booth.
Like,
he's that depraved.
Now, did you see Waterworld, where he played Deacon?
I did so many years ago.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
He makes a good bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, he didn't always play bad guys, and then he got one bad guy role, and that led to a string of bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also want to mention in the deaths that one of the writers of the Thundercats was murdered, passed away, and they found, like, his limbs chopped up somewhere.
That's fucking
and they
insane.
Think it was his roommates or his former roommates. Very
Do you
twisted.
Know how old he was?
I don't know.
Wow.
No.
That's horrible.
Steven something.
Ugh. All right, well, let's try to keep it upbeat.
Right.
I don't know how.
When we get the Panthro interview, we will bring some positive Thundercats memories back.
All right, I guess we'll go to the nerd news, even though that was very newsworthy.
Yes.
But, one more birthday, even though we're going to talk about... No, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay, after this, we'll get to the nerd news.
Awesome. Raphael, do you know whose birthday it is?
Who?
Why, Leonardo, it's our co-creator, Kevin Eastman's birthday today.
Awesome. Can we have a pizza party?
I think we'll have a pizza in honor of Kevin Eastman and fight some ninjas.
Cowabunga, dude.
Awesome. Leonardo, Donatello, and Raphael, and who is the other guy?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, can you take us into the nerd news?
Sure,
dude.
Oh, that's you? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, you give me Michelangelo.
What about Splinter?
Well, Turtles, I do believe it is now time on the Action Room for the segment that they call...
Nerd News.
I watched my mentor, and I copied his kung fu.
That's my favorite part of the movie, of the Turtles movie, the first one, is when they show the little rat Splinter puppet copying the kung fu moves, and it's just so hilarious.
Now, we wanted to talk about the Turtles for a few reasons, one being that Kevin Eastman's birthday is today.
Yes, yes, and we interviewed him, and it's on our YouTube site.
Yes, he is not only a friend of the show, he is a friend of ours.
Yes.
He's a good,
awesome
person.
Producer Mike knows him.
And
I met him only once.
Yeah, no, you know him too. He knows. This is the thing about
him.
He
sees
him,
my face
so cool.
And he has some recollection.
No, what's so cool about him is he's a total fanboy
right.
who became huge kind of by accident with the Turtles and stuff like that. And he was able to stay a fanboy. Everybody can still talk to him. If you go to a convention, more than likely he's there. Because
he's a very cool guy.
He runs heavy metal, so he'll be at the heavy metal booth.
Right.
And he's just one of these people, and he's the last person. Him and Peter Laird were the last people to kind of keep the ownership over their characters as it blew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no other people after that, because nobody thought it would get as big as it did. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what's that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's 48. His birthday's today.
They were going to do a heavy metal movie with David Fincher?
They still are. I think
okay,
it's just taking
okay.
a... It's an animation, so it'll... Oh, no, it's not an animation.
I thought it was live action.
Yeah, maybe it'll just take a long time.
Then you'll have Fire and Ice coming out and heavy metal coming out.
Fire and
it's
Ice.
It's going to be like the 70s all over again.
Robert Rodriguez, who now the Ralph Bakshi movie he's going to make into a live action movie.
Yes.
So
happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy birthday, Kevin. Now, in sad news about the Turtles... Michael Bay is going to be doing the reboot of the Turtles.
Yes, but this is let's give a caveat or rather a qualification. He's not directing it.
He's
only producing it.
Oh, okay.
He is producing it, as far as I know, from what I've read in my geek research.
It's a slight bit better.
Yes, because maybe he'll pick. I mean, he'll pick someone who probably has his similar fingerprint as a director. It's going to be live action, the first live action Turtles in many, many years.
The whole thing is it's not so much who he gets, it's the fact that no one is as bad as him. So it's always going to be better.
Will they talk like this? Or will it be like more like the Dark Turtles of the last animated movie, dude?
No, but the tweet that I did, because we're on Twitter.
Yes.
By the way, Britney Spears just overtook Ashton Kutcher as the most, who has the most followers.
I read about this. She has 5 million followers.
Who? How? Why? How? What?
Isn't
the
Ashton?
Fuck?
Isn't people? Isn't Ashton Kutcher just kind of cooler than Britney Spears? Not that he's Mr. Uber cool.
When they
but
asked
come
him,
on.
When they asked him what he thought, he just said, "I don't care."
That's it, literally.
But I'm sure he cares.
Right.
That's his life.
Dude,
what else does he do?
He started Twitter. That's all he does. He's like us. He sits at home and twitters. Except so, we're not millionaires with Demi Moore as our wife. But.
Except a lot of accepts. A lot of accepts.
Yeah.
All right, so our
he does some commercials for cameras.
Yeah, right. Our tweet for the Michael Bay doing TMNT was, Michael Bay has cast Will Smith as Casey Jones, Kim Kardashian as April O'Neil, and 4 propane tanks as the Turtles.
Because then they can explode.
Yes.
In succession.
And he wants to destroy every property he touches. So, all right. So, well, what do you think about this? Do you think it's going to be good?
You know, I hope that, first of all, I hope it's the Turtles done a little more serious.
Because what I think,
like, I don't want them to be Cowabunga Pizza Party. That's so fourth grade.
Well, I think it's going to be like, it's definitely be darker. It's probably going to be like them in costumes and then the head being CG, right? I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yes, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're not
all CG. Knowing Michael Bay, he likes his CG robots.
But
and
I think that
characters.
It's partly live action and part. I don't know. Yeah, you know,
the CG is good enough now that you could have all CG Turtles and have it look pretty cool.
Yeah, but I still think. Well, I mean, that would make sense.
Will the Shredder be the villain?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reboot. I mean, you know.
One of the best I want to say from the first Turtles comic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things ever in the first Turtles comic, which I don't know has been in the movies. 2 panels, which everyone loves and worships in comics. I know Brandon Graham loves this panel. The panel in the first issue where the ninja goes, "Who goes there? Ninja?" And one of the turtles emerges from the shadows and he goes, "No, turtle." I want to see that.
Right,
Michael
right.
Bay, please make it happen. Just that scene. I want to see that scene.
All right. So speaking of movies, there's a Flash movie. You can tell me more about this. I don't know.
Well, DC is realizing in the nerd news that they have to catch up to Marvel
right.
in terms of getting their B-level characters into big,
successful
movies.
They should just give
over
their rights to Marvel to do the movies.
Marvel Studios, just take over these characters. The Flash movie, which has long been in sort of pre-development, now that Geoff Johns is one of the 3 people running DC at the executive level, I believe he's now like chief co-chief creative officer. The
okay.
COO, as they say.
It's a weird instead American of his... Indian name.
Right. Wait, why is that American Indian?
Chief, whatever.
Oh, chief. Oh,
sorry.
All right.
I like how you laughed anyway, even though you didn't know.
I didn't get the joke at first. I really didn't. I just thought it was very convoluted what I just said. So, in any case, so he is consulting on the Flash movie. He's also consulting on the Green Lantern movie because these are the characters that he knows intimately well. I'm sure they'll have him consult on the Superman movie, too. Since the Green Lantern movie is really getting off the ground and has started filming, a Flash movie would work perfectly, and I think Geoff Johns is the man to help usher this. I think there's no reason there should not be a Flash movie, especially with the current special effects capability. They're also planning a Wonder Woman movie. Finally! I just don't know. No one in comics knows. I know she's a hard character, but they had Joss Whedon working on their Wonder Woman movie, and they fired him. They didn't like his script, but still, man, come on.
Well, I mean, this is exciting. So I think at this point, we're going to expect some really great movies from DC now.
I think the bar has been set very high, and they want an Aquaman movie, which even I think, really? Do you want Aquaman
Although,
to be one of your...
Nowadays, of all superheroes, we need him in the world with the BP
right.
problem.
And so, Marvel has also had a Namor. You know, Namor is Marvel's aquatic prince of the seas character. That Namor movie has been in development hell for like 8 years. So
now, have they
knows?
Talked about a lot, like with the Avengers for Marvel, a Justice League movie?
Apparently, DC, there are rumors that DC is slowly, very late in the game, going to start putting its pieces in place for a Justice League movie. Apparently, at Comic-Con in San Diego, which is what, in August
mm-hmm.
this
I think
year,
so.
Geoff Johns said, When people asked him, will DC follow suit and do a Justice League movie, Geoff Johns simply said, we'll have some announcements at Comic-Con, San Diego.
I think they have to.
They have to.
Yeah.
But then it's very weird because do you put, like, with Marvel, when you cast Robert Downey Jr. and you cast Edward Norton and you cast, Chris Evans, you already know you're making an Avengers movie, so the salaries and the legal stuff is all in place. Christian Bale? None of that stuff is in place for Christian Bale, and God knows who's going to be Superman. So
that's the thing. I think they didn't.
There's
maybe
a lot more DC would have to get in place.
And so my tweet for The Flash was, The Flash will appear in Steve Jobs' iPad movie. Get it? Okay. That's awesome. So
these things are always funnier when they're on your screen or in print. You know.
All right, so we're done. And I just want to end it.
Oh, we're done, all right.
I just want to end it on a tweet that I did that had to do with our
new... You're still going to do these tweets?
Last one. Come on. Support the tweets on Memorial Day. BP's top kill fails, but their ocean kill exceeds expectations.
And
that was funny.
It sure does. It was funny. My favorite was
the propane tanks. Yeah,
the
I know. No, but it's so sad, and I hope they fix that, because I'd like to eat fish when I'm a grandfather.
I don't know. I think your fish is going to have some black bean stew involved, because it's dark, you know, liquid.
Okay.
Like a black, stewy kind of liquid.
I feel like the tweet beat that. But okay. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, so, action fans, thank you so much for joining us.
And if you're a girl and you're funny and you're geeky, enter our contest, our co-host, Be a Action Room co-host.
Be a Action co-host contest.
Yes.
We're seeking guests. I'll rephrase this. We're seeking funny, witty, geeky female co-hosts to be either revolving guest co-hosts, or maybe if someone really wins the Action Room Idol and really impresses the hell out of us, then you could be a permanent co-host and do this for free twice a week in the Action Room studio.
Woo!
What more could you want?
Oh, I just forgot I'm doing this for free.
In any case, and I believe next episode we just may have our first contestant in the Action Room Female Guest Host Contest. We got to come up with a shorter name for that. So contact us on Twitter or Facebook. I have to say it in a way that I'm not about to choke.
Okay. Do you want me to take over? Contact us on Twitter or Facebook. And that's all you said. Okay.
Contact us on Twitter or Facebook if you want to be considered to be an Action Room guest co-host.
Or Messenger Pigeon now we have.
Yes, you tie a little fortune cookie to a pigeon's leg.
Your
It'll
resume.
Awesome. Just tell the pigeon to... Just tell the pigeon, go to the Action Room studio, and it'll go, hurr, hurr, action room, hurr, action room.
It's a horrible dedication to Mel Blanc. The worst impressions ever.
But that wasn't Mel Blanc. You never did a pigeon.
I know, but we're doing
only
impressions.
Only Tony Wolf does a pigeon.
Actually, but there was a pigeon thing with the new Looney Tunes.
Action room. Okay, that's our new mascot, right. The Action Room Pigeon.
Fine. Anything to get out of this.
So follow us on Twitter, engage us in conversation on Twitter, read our wacky headlines, check us out on Facebook, and listen to the show, which you're doing now, so good on you. Check that off on the list.
All right, are we ending it?
Yes.
Please kill it.
Thank you for listening, and take a moment in all seriousness to... honor the servicemen and women who are serving us right now in our military all across the globe, mm-hmm. protecting us from God knows what is going on. Jack Bauer is a fictional character, but the threats are often very, very real. So,
Like BP,
yes. Please protect us from BP. So thanks for listening. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm producer Mike.
And that is the end of this episode of The Action Room.